Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 242. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, Nate?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just having a wonderful evening.
Yeah.
With a fantastic guest chat.
We did. Sean, how are you? Oh.
Excellent. Sean asks how you're doing.
That's right. I'm doing fine, Sean. Thank you.
Thanks for asking.
We are once again Seanless.
He is still on assignment.
That booger, I tell you. He's always on assignment. What's going on with him? That's all right. We'll get him back in the studio here in a couple of weeks. So.
Yep, he'll get all of his loose ends tied up and
be
rocking and rolling.
He's got to take the time needed, so we are in full. What am I trying to say? Support of him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to do what he's got to do, and we continue the show.
And the beat rolls on.
That's right. Your week going all right though?
Yes, finally back in town, live in the studio. This nice. Episode.
Yeah, we had to do the Zoom by. I had to do my phone last week, which actually, when I listened to the episode, it turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
It didn't sound too bad. I was surprised.
Heck yeah.
I was like, okay. Well, back at it in the studio, though. That's a good thing. When you sent me that message, I was like, all right. Now I don't have to sit at the dining room table with my phone propped up against a planter.
Yeah, we're happy that we finished this morning and hightailed it out of South Bend after getting 10 inches of snow.
Oh, man.
Fighting through that, trying to get the job done, but we did a good job. Everybody's happy.
That's good.
Made a good name for my company I work for.
Yeah, that's good.
So yeah,
worked all the way around.
Yeah,
that's
made
awesome.
A little money.
There you go. That always helps. Money helps, right?
I don't get to see any of it, but
oh shoot. Well, I'm glad you're having a good week, and my week's going all right. We're recording on a Thursday tonight, so
yeah,
a day later.
Have we had any hate mail for not dropping the episode on Wednesday?
So far, no. They're probably cussing behind the scenes, you know, saying bad names about us. And oh well, that's how it goes. We got to record when we record.
Yep.
No, we had our guest couldn't do it on a Wednesday, so she could do it on a Thursday. So that's why it's on a Thursday night.
Get her done.
There you go. Well, let's move on to the first sponsorship, Nate, shall we?
Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you, Mr. Micah, for your sponsorship. We appreciate it.
Most definitely. Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Oh, you nailed it. Nice job.
Took me a minute.
You got it, though.
I did.
CCBB.
That's normally what I say.
I would say, I usually say Cultured Creature Beard Balm, but I was going to say if I botch it up this time. No, we do appreciate a sponsorship. Love mm-hmm. Micah himself. He's a great guy, good yep. friend of the show. So,
if you got a wild, untamed beard, go get you some CCBB.
I think Bigfoot needs some, but he would need it on his entire body. He would need a
5-gallon bucket of it.
Big old tub. Slather it on. Yeah.
It looked like a 1960s greaser.
Well, you know, maybe wife Bigfoot would think, oh, man, look at this.
Ooh. All sexy. Slick back.
Sexy Bigfoot.
You smell good.
Oh, that's funny.
Unlike the skunk ape.
Yeah, exactly. Florida skunk ape. Well, we do appreciate it. And moving on to the most important part of the show, as always, the dad joke of the show. Got a good one for you, Nate.
I'm waiting.
Are you waiting?
I am waiting because I have one to tell you off air.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see where you're going with that. All right. NASA is launching a satellite to say sorry to the aliens. They're calling it Apollo G.
Apollo G. Yes.
How about that? Oh, Apollo yeah. G.
I like that one.
Yeah. And that is the dad joke of the show. And as always, you're welcome. I need a rim shot. I need an official rim shot. We need to get that going again. So, yeah, Apollo G. I thought you'd like that.
I like that one, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, thanks. I was pretty proud of it. All right. You want to do first announcements, Nate?
Oh, I certainly can. We come together every week to have a good time and talk paranormal stuff, some guy time. But the most important thing that we like to get out there in the airways and in people's ears is the hotlines. If you are having some mental issues or suicidal thoughts. So call or text 988 or text HOME to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. So go get you some help.
There you go. I was going to say, like Sean says, so go get you some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very important. Mental health. Almost, or probably more important than physical health.
Yeah. Kind of play off each other.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. But yeah, I'd agree. Mental health is very important. So go get you some help needed professionally. If you need to reach out to the show on the Facebook group, there's always a group of people there to encourage you and do what they can. But if you definitely need professional, then yeah. Mm-hmm. Reach out to these numbers that we listed. So we love you guys. Want you to be healthy. Skipping special announcements once again. I miss special announcements. We need something to...
We'll make something up.
I will next time. I'm going to make up a special announcement.
Special announcement. Thanksgiving's around the corner.
There you go. Special announcement. Turkey Day. All right. Well, we are to the point. We're going to talk about the episode. We have a special guest chat. Katie Page is our guest. So if interested, please check out our show notes for the source links on how to follow Katie. Enjoy. Hey, Creepies. We have a special guest for you on this episode. She is a paranormal author, researcher, and investigator. She is Katie Page. Katie, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing? Thanks for having me here.
Oh, we're doing great. Thank you for coming on, taking your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're happy you... took a moment out of your evening to hang out with us.
Talk creepy
stuff. It's always stuff. Fun. I always love talking creepy stuff, so.
Excellent. Well, that's what we like to do here, so that's good. Let's get started. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit about your background. How'd you get into investigating?
Yeah, I think like so many people out there that experience things they quite can't understand, whether it's paranormal or cryptid or UFOs, kind of leads you down a path eventually in your life. For me, it didn't kind of pop back up into my life until, into my probably mid-40s, I would say. I was busy raising a family and working and things like you do when you're younger. But when I was younger, I spent time 3 years on a very unusual high strangeness ranch that back in folklore was known as the Clearview Ranch. Never knew anybody knew anything about it. I never knew it was investigated or anything like that. So me and my big sister and family just kind of kept it on the down low. Years later, I started getting curious about all those experiences and started watching, documentaries and reading books, everything I could get my hands on. And I picked up a book called Hunt for the Skinwalker about the now infamous Skinwalker Ranch and started reading in a chapter called Other Hot Spots about a ranch in Colorado. And my jaw just dropped to the floor because I was like, holy beepity beep beep. Because, that was the first time I knew anybody knew anything about it. So from that book, it gave the names of three PhDs that actually investigated it through APRO, which is the Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization. So Dr. Leo Sprinkle out of Laramie, Wyoming, Peter Van Ardsdale, and John Durr. So quickly I got, by that time I was a member in a field investigator for Colorado MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network, worked my way up to the STAR team and then became the state director for a while. I stepped down recently to focus on Rocky Mountain Ranch research though. But anyway, so I wrote Dr. Leo a letter confirming this was the location of my childhood. And sure enough, old school mail right before Christmas, I got a letter back from him confirming that this was the ranch of my childhood. So this predated the Skinwalker Ranch by over 15 years. So you name it, it happened out there. This is where Linda Moulton Howe got her start. She was an investigative journalist out there at the time, and there were just mutilations occurring daily of just not cow, but horse and sheep. And I found articles about dogs and blacked out mysterious helicopters and strange, a lot like the Taos Hum, a lot of paranormal activity going on, cryptids happening, UFOs, orbs. And so ever since that day of getting that letter, it's just been, down the rabbit hole ever since.
Sounds like it. Wow.
Packed bags. We're going.
Yeah, there we go. I know. We would tell Sean if he was here, put it on the list. Our long list of places we like to investigate, or at least tour or whatever. That's awesome. That's awesome. So it's nothing that you didn't grow up in a haunted house or anything, or any, as a kid, did you have any experiences that you can think of? Or?
Yeah, I did. It's interesting because researching and investigating a lot of cases, other people's cases, especially people who have close encounter UFO sightings or claim abductions or whatever, oftentimes you'll find that these things tend to run in families. And so, kind of when I opened up these investigations, I started inquiring with other family members, has so-and-so ever had anything happen? Come to find out, my grandfather, and I was actually born in the state of Illinois, but my grandparents had a house in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And in the early 60s, my grandfather, who was in the Navy and a Mason, I don't know if that matters or not, but he had an oblong-shaped craft sighting over Lake Como, which was actually investigated by J. Allen Hynek. And then, of course, my mom talks about when I was a little going from Wisconsin to Illinois back and forth in a town right across the border there. I think it's called Richmond. We had a close encounter sighting of another oblong-shaped craft, which she talks about. And then my mom would see apparitions. And then later on, I was 19 years old. I had my first son, right out of high school. So I was a young mom. And I lived in, my dad had a home that his wife had just passed away in a few months earlier, like 6 months earlier. My dad, in my good old dad fashion, marries another woman a month after his third wife died. So he marries wife number four at this house. And my dad never believed in anything. He was known to say, like, when you die, you're dirt kind of thing. But after Midge died in that house and he married Liz, I think Midge was pissed, and that house was active, like poltergeist active. So my
Wow.
dad moves out with his new wife, and I move in with my son, and then my husband, who my ex-husband now. And the house kind of stayed pretty quiet until we had to move out because of the foreclosure. And once we started packing our bags, all heck broke loose. I mean,
Really?
crazy stuff. Yes, I lived in a haunted house for a short time, but I knew who was haunting it. So part of me kind of wants to go knock on the door and like, hey, is your house still haunted? Because I know who it is. Although since that time, my dad has passed away. My dad passed in 1996. So I often wonder, like, when my dad passed, if Midge stopped haunting that house. It's like a question I
True.
have. Was her spirit rested now or whatever, and now it's no longer haunted? Maybe
Yeah.
someday I'll go knock on their door and ask.
You ought to. That'd be
Yeah.
interesting to find out. See if they've
Right.
had any occurrences.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Right. But I'll tell you, when my dad brought home Liz, some of the things that were going on, which was just kind of crazy. So my dad being, the Illinois person, he drank his Pabst Blue Ribbon and would always frost his beer mugs. And he had the old freezer that would kind of open, to the side, where they're at the top of the refrigerator would open.
Yeah.
And he would put the beer mugs on that side of the door. And after Liz moved in, he'd open that freezer to get his frosted beer mugs, and they would just shoot off out of the freezer and just shatter in the kitchen. And then
Oh.
there was the stairs from the back door, and there was a light bulb down there, and that thing would constantly shatter. Yeah, he would hear the footprints or footsteps on the linoleum onto the carpet, things like this. Her closet door would keep opening constantly, where she kept her favorite dresses and coats and things like that. I mean, just you name it was going on in that house. And it really did change at the end of my dad's life. It changed his tune. He was a believer.
Oh, I bet. How could you not? That's, yeah.
Right. It's
All of
like,
that.
well, that's what you get for meeting somebody so quickly.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a lot of activity. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
And of
crazy.
course, being on the ranch before I knew what the hitchhiker phenomenon was, there wasn't a label on it until Skinwalker at the Pentagon kind of coined the term hitchhiker phenomenon for people who would visit Skinwalker Ranch. And
Yep.
but when I was a kid, my mom dated the gentleman that owned that ranch, so I did not live there full time, thank goodness, or I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Because the boys who did live there full time, they all live out of the state of Colorado now, and they really don't. They're like still like so traumatized by what happened there. But so I lived 45 minutes away to an hour away from the ranch. And at the house we lived in, though, I was experiencing shadow figures and like paranormal type of things like that. But I didn't connect it to the ranch until, decades later when I learned about the hitchhiker phenomenon. I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no kidding. So you've seen shadow figures and oh man.
Oh, yeah. When I was little, they usually came in twos and threes. But I always slept with Big Sister. I don't know if but I, was on season one, two, and three of Beyond Skinwalker. And my sister was actually on there for the season three. So Big Sister was with me during the years. Now she moved to Wyoming when I turned 11. So, but for those 3 years that we were experiencing the height of all the high strangeness, she was there, and she was a good protector for me. I always slept with Big Sister because I was too afraid to sleep alone and, looked under the bed, checked the closet, all that kind of stuff. But I can remember just seeing this dark shadow and just not moving, just completely frozen under the blankets, just go away, go away, go away, go away, that kind of stuff, And then of course, when you're little, in the house, or there was always an excuse to kind of shut you down from talking about it.
Yeah.
So I really advocate for people like, be at least have an ear. Like dealing with children that experience anything paranormal or supernatural is tricky because you don't want to lead them or frighten them or put ideas into their head of what these things can be, but you also don't want to shut down a child. You need to make sure that they feel protected and safe and heard. That's what I wish I had, growing up through all that, instead of just shutting you down and don't talk about what ha is happening, because it was really damaging, I think, for both my sister and I.
Oh yeah, I can believe that. Yeah, I mean, as
Yeah.
you experience something like that as a child, it's already traumatizing, and then you grow up, if you haven't had a chance to express it, it can still be traumatizing. I mean, you need a chance to, talk about it and say, what you saw or experienced. I was going to ask you about the shadow figures. Did you feel like they were malevolent at all, or just kind of observing you? Because I've heard, since Nate, Sean, and I have done this podcast, we kind of heard different things about shadow figures, where they just kind of they're kind of curious about us as much as we are about them, or they've been, or like the Hat Man type shadow man, where he can be kind of aggressive, and the old hag syndrome. What did you feel like they were?
Well, from my child, my little Katie perspective, I was terrified. But they never harmed me in any way. I didn't have any scratches or anything like that. Well, not until late in my later years. I have experienced that even on the ranch season one. At the time I was afraid. Now, as an adult looking back, I mean, for gosh, up until gosh, probably my late 40s, I always felt completely watched. Like, you know that feeling when, I mean, that feeling of being watched was overwhelming, like my whole life. But now I look at things quite differently, which is interesting because so many people have that same experience where at first the experiences are quite frightening, but as you learn and read and whatever, oftentimes it can open like a spirituality path for you or open the door to so many other different topics. And that certainly was the case for me. However, one of my big questions about, Elbert County and the Rocky Mountain Ranch was how much of it actually was unexplained, unknown UFO, paranormal, cryptid, and how much of it was military black access projects, MK Ultra kind of stuff. Because I know through documents and stuff I've uncovered, and that's my passion and love is research, that there was no doubt a military presence there. So, it's kind of double things going on, I believe.
I was going to ask you about that, because a lot of, places do have military influence, and that's interesting that you think both, there were both military and, the paranormal. Interesting. Wow. Wow. Nate, what do you
Yeah,
have?
that gets into a lot of stuff. I mean, it's not just one thing. I mean, some of these homes that are haunted, I mean, it's a paranormal phenomenon or whatever. But like places like where you grew up at and Skinwalker Ranch, it's everything. It's paranormal, it's alien, it's military, it's just
Cryptid,
cryptid. Yeah, it goes across the entire board. So you can't really put your finger on like one set thing of, oh, this is why it's happening, or somewhat of an explanation of why it's happening. It's just one thing after another, broad spectrum.
And as an investigator, researcher person, because I try to look at my experiences as objectively as I can to try to understand and uncover what was really going on at the time. Because there's some interesting characters that have surfaced throughout this whole process. But yeah, it draws out the process because you don't know where to focus. For example, I did not want to even touch on the cattle mutilations. Like, I'm like, that. We have the experts that are dealing with that. I'll let them handle that. But after a while, and talking to locals and things that are still going on today, there are still mutilations happening today. I couldn't avoid it. Same with the cryptids. Even though I have experienced a little bit with the cryptids, I mean, I haven't seen one full on, and I was kind of like, yeah, that's a different kind of world. But I can't avoid it now, especially season one on Beyond Skinwalker. I was taking the crew back. We were expecting some snow, but not the blizzard that we got. So like whoa, out of the blue, this big blizzard comes, and I'm taking them back behind the ranch house in the Ponderosa Pine. So this out in Elbert County, Colorado, it's very rural, but it's also very open with like patches of ponderosa forests. So you have kind of open spaces and then foresty places. And where the ranch sits, it was 60 acres. It was open at the front of the ranch and everything, like where the landing site is. And then behind the ranch house is ponderosa pine forest. And when I was a young kid with my mom's boyfriend's youngest son, we went in his pickup truck, stopped at this outbuilding to get, I don't know, Jack must have gotten a tool or something out of that. And for whatever reason, he's like, you guys just jump in the back of the pickup truck and we're going to go drive around the back of the ranch house in the Ponderosa Pines. And we're like, okay, fun. You know, 9 years old, you jump in the truck and you're going, right? Looking for deer or whatever. And we're driving in the truck and all of a sudden, Jack stops the truck, gets out of the truck. So me and the youngest son, I still don't say his name in public because he's still with us and everything. But we jump out of the truck and gosh, I don't know how many, 50 yards away, 100 yards away, there was a box and it had lights on the inside. It was making like a bee sound or like an electrical kind of sound. And I just remember Jack going, it's the box, it's the box, it's a box. Get in the truck, get in the truck. And we jump in the back of the truck and I look back to where the box was and the thing was gone. So I was taking the crew back to see these strange boxes. And that's another thing. I didn't talk about the boxes for a very long time because it just sounds nuts, you know, but they're being reported and I'm finding cases with these boxes all over the place. But anyway, so that's another thing I didn't touch on for a while were these strange, mysterious boxes. My sister witnessed it. The undersheriff, Bill Waugh, and a posse patrolman witnessed the box. And in the Bill Waugh's report of the box, he was on patrol. He sees a box next to a tree. He doesn't want to approach it. So he goes and gets a posse sheriff. They go back to where the box is. And he said it was as if the box in the underground. And that's in his police report. So these were witnessed by many people out in the area. But again, that was a topic I was like, oh, I'll leave that alone. And it's interesting that beyond Skinwalker, there's so much that happened. You film for a week and they have to get it down to a 44-minute episode. So there's so much that happens or had happened or things that they just don't, they can't even put it into the episode because there's just not enough time to do it.
That is amazing when there's so much they can't put it all in, you know, because of time frame.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Make two episodes.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Well, yeah, they did. And it's crazy. So in the very first season, they actually had David Morehouse did one of the biggest remote views ever done in the country, with bigger than CIA, DIA. And I'll send you the link to this little clip. Maybe you can pop it in whatever description you have so people can see it. But they had over 70 remote viewers from several different countries remote view the ranch from the time of my childhood. And David Morehouse had like a 2-hour presentation that was filmed right through the whole thing. And I mean, what they uncovered was just like, I was even thinking this can't be real. Like, oh my gosh, they got the boxes, the hum sounds, the cryptids, they said it was like the soup. I mean, it was crazy what they had. They knew the five kids, they had everything. The military presence, on and on and on. In fact, if your listeners go to Through a Glass Darkly podcast and just search David Morehouse, Rocky Mountain Ranch, there's 6 hours about him talking about everything they found out there. Super interesting stuff. But History Channel didn't know what to do with it. So they didn't even put it in the episode. They just made a 7-minute bonus clip that you had to actually go to History Channel's website and find to watch it. Okay. And it was so frustrating to me because it was so mind-blowing. I was like, wow, you know. That alone could have been a whole episode.
Yeah, sounds like it.
This stuff's real. Yeah. Put it out there.
Yeah, people want to see it.
Don't leave it on the editing floor.
No.
I know it.
That's insane. So what other, I was gonna say, what other locations have you been to? Like, let me ask you this first. Are you selective? Like before you go to a place, do you want to kind of find out a little bit more about the place in the location, or do you kind of go in blind, or like, what's your method when you go to a location?
Well, it's kind of all of the above. And sometimes, you know, I will go to a place and be all equipment ready, bring, you know, all the go bag and everything. We're ready to go. And then something will like come in my head and go, you know what? Leave the equipment behind and just sit and feel where you are. You know, sometimes you don't need the equipment to interact with whatever is there. And oftentimes, actually, you're going to get more activity if you're not trying to measure and scientifically analyze everything. And I think that can shut down our natural ability, and everybody has it, that intuitive side to just kind of sit and listen and take in. So I do both, actually. And in fact, tomorrow I will be spending the night at the Rocky Mountain Ranch. And I'm a little apprehensive, but we are bringing the equipment. We're going to do a ST session. And in the APRA report, they talked about the adults that lived there back in the day, if they went up on the hill and messed with wires and put like silver and Native American turquoise and things like that, the activity would increase. So we're going to kind of bait the land tomorrow night. We're going to bring, of course, the K2 and some digital recorders and bring the drone and, do that kind of thing. So I kind of use both methods and probably will tomorrow night at the ranch as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We haven't been on too many investigations ourselves. How many, Nate? Maybe two?
I think two or three.
And
we don't have any equipment.
No.
We just use our own body barometers.
And has anything happened for you guys?
Oh yeah, we've had some activity.
Yeah, we went mainly at Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Louisville. We went there and all of us had some experiences and ended the night seeing a shadow figure. There was five of us and we all saw it. So it was kind of neat to have all of us experience it, not just one person, it kind of got justified, like, nope, it's right there, right in front of us. We need to walk by it to leave. But yeah, we don't have any fancy equipment. We just have our cell phones and, like Nate said, just our own bodies to feel and hear and sense. So yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the best thing. That's all you need. Now, I got to a point in my life years ago, actually, that I'm just like, I know what I've experienced. I know the research and the work I've done. And, I want to share my experience so others can feel comfortable to share whatever they've experienced. And if you believe me, great. If you don't, that's okay too. Memory can be a tricky thing, especially when you're that young, 9, mm-hmm. 10, 11, 12 years old. So it's nice having my big sister and my mom. My mom actually passed last year, but she, certainly had her memories about everything that went on there too. And then to see all the newspaper articles and do interviews with other people in the area. And that was the first thing I had to really understand was this activity wasn't isolated just on the 60-acre ranch property. It was the whole county. It was from Franktown to Elizabeth to Kiowa to Rama to Simla. And this is like the whole Palmer Divide, which is also interesting because the Palmer Divide is very like geographically, geologically very similar to the Uinta Basin and also to right around like the Dulce area.
Okay, yeah.
One thing I looked at in comparing these hot spots or these high strangest locations, it's out there in Sedona, Arizona and Bradshaw Ranch or Skinwalker Ranch or Blind Frog Ranch or Marley Woods or, the Rocky Mountain Ranch, they all ping the charts of being highly, highly magnetic areas. So as highly energized places as you can get. They also have water features, aquifers, hot springs. So right where the Rocky Mountain Ranch sits, there's actually two aquifers that meet right at the property, the Dawson and the Denver, with different water tables, which opens up to caverns and things underground. And then geologically, they have even like the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, there's water elements, there's limestone, there's granite. So you wonder if these crystals, same with San Luis Valley, like we just redid the whole Snippy the Horse 1967 cattle mutilation. Tony Angiola and I published the book on that has all the new updated photos and information on that case. Same with, out there in the San Luis Valley, you have the Great Sand Dunes, which is nothing but crystals. Energetically, it's kind of all over the board. It's just crazy energetically. And then they have the water features pretty close, actually, the swampy waters where Snippy was mutilated, which if you don't know who Snippy was really the first world recognized before viral was a viral known animal mutilation out there in the San Luis Valley. So we just redid the book on that.
Okay. Wow. So I was going to ask you mentioned the Stanley. Have you been there to the Stanley Hotel?
Yeah, I did. So the kind of one of the very first thing that got me kind of pushed on to all of this, I have the ghost hunters to thank. So, thank you, Grant and Jason and Kristen and Tango and Steve, because I was addicted to that show right when it was on years ago.
Sure.
And it ran for a very long time. So I really just started watching Ghost Hunters, and the Ghost Hunters started doing like events, paranormal events, and I got to attend two of them at the Stanley Hotel with them, and one at the St. Augustine Lighthouse. And that was my favorite episode of Ghost Hunters, is the one where you see the shadow of the hand go across the rail at the St. Augustine Lighthouse, and then you see the dark figure look down. I'm like, that's the dark figure I've seen.
Oh,
So
wow.
I had to get out there to the St. Augustine Lighthouse and had some really cool experiences out there as well.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to see if Stanley, because they say it's so active, with the paranormal activity. I was going to see if you had anything to share about
Yeah,
it. Yeah.
you could go to my website, Katie Page, and it's PAIGE.net, katiepage.net, and I have a tab on there. It's called Paranormal, and there's a video that my son took, my second oldest son, and he's kind of a skeptic. He wants to believe, but he's more on the, he's hard to convince, put it that way. And he even went out to the Meadows Project, Trey Hudson's, the South's Meadow. He went with me there and had some paranormal things happen. He's like, "No, it was the wind," or he likes to just kind of come up with an excuse why it's not paranormal. But anyway, him and his wife were at the Stanley, and there's a video on my website, and you can almost see a dark shadow holding this door, and then it just bam slams, and they have it on video. It's pretty
Oh,
cool,
that's
that
nice.
video. And I also have another picture there that I took. I was just outside the Stanley taking pictures, and there is a particular room in the carriage house that is known to be haunted. And in there, now it could be pareidolia, I don't know, but to me it looks like a figure, like a face figure looking out the window. So,
Oh,
yeah.
We like to hear those stories.
Oh, yeah.
Pareidolia is tricky though, and I have trouble
Yeah.
with like orbs are a tough one for me too, because there's dust and bugs and camera artifacts and all that. So it's hard to convince me of a good orb sighting picture, but I do believe in. I've seen like fairy lights, and I had a one blue orb experience in my bedroom one night that went along with some paranormal activity. So I do know they exist, but to capture them photographically is tricky, I think.
Yeah, we had here in Indiana, we went to Whispers Estate, which is supposed to be one of the most haunted houses in America. And we didn't have a lot of activity, but we did have a bunch of orbs at the
Yeah.
beginning. And it was right, like, it was live, I mean, right in front of us. And I was like, look at this, Nate. Nate has it on. Do you still have it on your phone? Yeah.
Yeah, I still have the videos.
Yeah, he still has a video. And because I've never been an orb person, I'm like, I just don't believe into that stuff. And yeah, I think it's dust or something, some type of light, but this we couldn't explain. There were so many, it was unbelievable. Yeah, so I'm like, okay, maybe I'm a little believer in orbs. I'll change my tune a little bit, seeing it as
That's what,
in real time.
right? That happened to me. I was actually friends with a lead paranormal investigator for the Stanley, and she invited me to go speak at a paranormal conference in it was in Boston, I believe. Is that right? No, Michigan. It was in Michigan. And so we were investigating this old building. I want to say it was like some art building or something. And anyway, she was talking about fairy lights, and I was like you. I'm like, I don't really, But sure enough, there they were. I think they're like little balls of energy, I think, that just illuminate. And I couldn't deny it anymore. I'm like, dang it. Okay, I guess they're real. And I saw them out at the Meadows too, with Trey Hudson and their team. And so, yeah, they're definitely real. And of course, I had the one experience with the big blue orb, which was like basketball sized, and it felt intelligent. And
Oh.
thank goodness for journaling. So, for all of you people out there that experience anything, journal it or document it somehow, because I was really happy that I did. I had just recently got the letter back from Leo Sprinkle confirming the ranch of my childhood, blah, blah, blah. So I was just starting the very beginnings of learning and investigating. And what woke me up, my boys at the time were into building Legos. So I had a bucket of the red bucket of Legos, and it fell over in my room and woke me up. And I'm like, whoa. And so as I'm kind of coming around, I notice the light outside the bedroom window is going on and off, and it's like an auto light. And after I kind of zoomed in, I'm like, okay, why is that light flashing? In the corner of my bedroom was a basketball-sized blue orb. It was deeper in color on the inside. And so I'm, Steve, 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 get up, Steve, get up, look at this. And as soon as he got up and put his eyes on that orb, it just went, it like imploded. It went vroom, like this.
Wow.
And of course, I'm looking like at the smoke detector on the ceiling. I'm looking at the little light on the cable box. I'm trying to debunk it the best I can. But there was no denying there was a blue orb in my bedroom. And what's fascinating about that, when I bought the book Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, they talk about a blue orb just like that. And they said, don't assume it's extraterrestrial in nature, implying that we might have technology that can actually do that, which is pretty unsettling if you think about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about that. Spy
Yeah.
tech.
Yeah.
Spy tech. Yeah, spy tech. It's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah,
Yeah.
the orbs we saw were probably what? Tennis ball
You
size? I don't know. I can't remember.
well, on the video I have, like, we couldn't see them with the naked eye, so I mean they're like the size of dust particles, I would assume.
Yeah.
But they're just streaking across the lens.
Just, yeah, we got them on our
But with our
phone.
flashlight, you couldn't see any dust floating around.
No.
So yeah, it's odd.
I don't know what I'd do if I saw
Right.
a basketball sized orb.
Yeah.
That would be a little, it might be a little much.
My aunt, oddly enough, who lives out in Colorado, she sent me a video on one of her indoor cameras. And she had, it looked like an orb. It was black and white because it was in night mode, so couldn't tell color, but you could just see it drift across over top of the dining room table, and then go down the hallway, then it came back out, and then it came back around the table, and then
Man.
went across and went out of frame of camera.
Yeah,
And
that's
she's like,
something.
"Hey, Nate, what's this?" I was like, I have no idea. It looks like an orb of
Sounds
sorts.
intelligent. Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Wow. She doesn't live around the Black Forest, does she? That's still a very active area of Colorado, but
They
I think,
used to.
activity just it just is everywhere. It could be
Yeah,
anywhere.
yeah. Yeah, they used to live just outside of Denver in Aurora. I think they're down by Springs, Colorado Springs now.
Okay. I lived in both places, so
Wow. What about east? Any locations east of where you are? Have you been to? Because you mentioned Michigan, but
Yeah, I.
any southern towns? Any locations there or on the East Coast?
Well, the undisclosed location of the Meadows, I've been out there twice with Trey Hudson and that team, which is a fantastic team. They do great work there. So we collaborate and, he's kind of helping us figure out some experiments to do, this weekend at Rocky Mountain Ranch. And then, Florida, I mentioned,
Yeah.
but I certainly have my bucket list. Like, I've never investigated a sanitarium or anything like that, which always interests me. In fact, my half brother, this is another interesting area of research that I have gone down, which is talking with experiencers. And we're not talking just aliens and UFOs, we're talking paranormal things as well. Oftentimes, people that experience these type of things over and over and over will have a history of trauma or disassociation of some kind. And you can disassociate whether it's through remote viewing, astral traveling, meditation, near-death experiencers, anything that causes us to leave our physical bodies, seems to tie us, our physical souls, into the realm of the unknown. And I feel like once that connection is made, you kind of carry it with you wherever you go. So, if you hear people that they say, and I often say, like, I feel like whatever activity is always around me is because of whatever I'm tied into, and others report the same types of things. But my half brother, who was an arsonist, spent a lot of his life at Pueblo State Hospital. And so a lot of my research just recently on the ranch, there was a one of the there was three owners of the Rocky Mountain Ranch, and one of them was a mysterious guy that came out of San Francisco who claimed to be part of Air Defense Command. And in some of these documents that I have, he talks about taking legal LSD and doing, you know, having strange vagrants and people come to the ranch and these strange experiments going on and on and on. And I'm like, okay, what's going on with that? There's actually a report in Dr. Leo's files that talks about a soldier. It said his name's Warren. His last name was redacted out. Said he visits the ranch. So the first question is, why is there a soldier from Camp Carson visiting the ranch? Question number one. Number two, he was behind the ranch house. He said he felt something wrong. He felt something take over his mind, made him walk towards the woods, would release him. He would run back to the ranch house, and this did this to him 5 times. I'm like, what is that? Is like MK Ultra kind of stuff? Is it connected to these strange boxes? Like the disembodied electrical voice that warned us all to not speak, you know, we have allowed you to remain, blah, blah, blah. I started researching that. I'm like, okay, what could that have been? I learned about something called plasma ball technology. Now, if I don't know if they were messing around with plasma ball technology back in the day, but it's possible because around, you know, Elbert County, Black Forest, we have a lot of military bases in Colorado Springs, NORAD, Air Force Academy, Camp Carson, Butte, Shrivner, all these different ones. And plasma ball technology is like where they pipe out, and they do. It sounds electrical sounding, you know, human voices out in the field of battle, because if they can pipe out human sounding voices, it can keep soldiers safer. So were they experimenting with these kind of things out on the ranch? I don't know, but it seems kind of likely. And then after that night of the disembodied electrical voice from the ranch, we drive back to our house in Englewood, and I go paralyzed. I couldn't speak for a while, and I get a full-blown migraine headache. I got put into this program here called the Twilight Learners through the Denver Tech Center, and it's a biofeedback program. I still have my tapes here. And the doctor who put this program together, his name is Thomas H. Budinski. So thanks to our new technology, ChatGPT and Grok, I'm able to do a deep dive on who the heck Thomas H. Budinski is or was. Turns out he was a navigational engineer out of Area 51, and he worked with the Menninger Foundation, the Stargate Program, the Gateway Program, and the Monroe Institute. And I find an old video on the internet, YouTube, on, you know, biofeedback, Thomas H. Budinski. Anybody can search it and find it. But what's crazy about that is, so he's a navigational engineer working on the SR-71 Blackbird at Area 51. He's in Denver Tech Center working with kids. So with me, for example, they keep you in a theta state. They put headphones on your ears. They put little temperature things so you can learn to fluctuate your body temperatures, and they try to keep you in this theta state. And in the video I found, there's a little boy named Kevin, and they're like, Kevin, can you make the rocket go up? Can you make the rocket land? And all this stuff. I'm like, holy bitty bitty bitty. I mean, what program was I put into for a year and a half? You know, I thought it was for my migraine headaches, but I think there was more to it. So there's all these secret programs that were put into place from, you know, these MK Ultra type of different, and doing FOIA requests and things like that. I mean, they were in school districts and people in gifted talented programs, or people that, you know, have, you know, ADHD or are hyperactive or whatever, are put into these programs. And sometimes the parents don't even know. They think you're in there for other reasons. So I'm kind of learning about that right now as we speak.
Yeah.
Pretty shocking.
Trying to unlock superpowers.
Man.
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah, I think they've been working on that since, you know, the mid 60s into the 70s and onward. And I don't think it's stopped.
Yeah. I was just saying, do you think they still do it?
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Wow. That's frightening. I mean, just, yeah, because if you're a parent and you're putting your kid into something that, for what you think it's supposed to be, but it's something totally different.
Yeah.
That's alarming. That's quite frightening.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. And I had never heard of MK Ultra until I started listening to podcasts. I never knew anything about it. And I'm still kind of, I don't know a lot about it, you know, but I definitely have heard of it now. The stories just sound crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting too is not this last contact in the desert, but the year before, I, a woman reached out to me, and her father was deep in the CIA, and they owned a lot of the property looking over the Dulce base area. And so we met with her in Pioneertown, California, and I interviewed, or we interviewed, Rocky Mountain Ranch interviewed the widow and the daughter of this man. And they disclosed to us, first of all, when they arrived at the property on Dulce, they were met with armed people, and he's like, "This is our property. What?" Anyway, but besides that, he was part of a program where they experimented with many different types of hallucination, like hallucinogens, and
Oh,
they
yeah.
called it FM. They called it FM, which stood for freaking magic. And so when I got that document of John Duke on the ranch participating in legal LSD, well, that would only be through a program like MK Ultra or the military, because there is no, legal LSD. So again, these programs, I think that plays a part in what was going on there, but it certainly doesn't account for all of it. Like the paranormal stuff, the cryptid stuff, the big orbs, I don't know. There's just so much that was happening there that I don't think it accounts for everything that was going on. The animal mutilations, this has been going on for decades, since the 70s, well, 67 was Snippy the horse, and we still don't have answers to this, and it's still just as mysterious. Maybe a handful was conducted by the blacked out helicopters, and there's been theories that they're testing the soil or the groundwater or mad cow disease or this or that. It certainly doesn't account for all of them.
No, right. Yeah, that's too many. Interesting. I'm fascinated by all of this. I mean, she's got so much information. It's like overwhelming. That's why we have you on, right?
Like I know MK Ultra, like one of their big claims is Charles Manson. He was part of the whole
Oh,
project.
that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
There's some good evidence to really point toward. I mean, he was at locations and dealing with people that were at the head of all that. So, I just actually a couple months ago, I have the book. I haven't read all of it. I just flipped through it, but I bought the book on that because I'm like, oh, there's probably more to that than we know. And other bad incidents, in the country as well, could be tied to that, and certain deaths as well, with some of these people that were put into the program. So, yeah, it's an interesting topic.
Ex Charles Manson would get in trouble. They'd arrest him, and then he'd be let out again.
Yeah, that was a smart move, right?
So yeah,
Yeah.
their claims is he was part of the project, and they're like, all right,
Go ahead and.
go find some more people to manipulate.
Yeah. Scary stuff. Yeah, it is. It really is. And the technology today to do what they could be doing is mind-blowing. Yeah, I don't know. I can't keep up with all of it. So Nate and Sean are better with watching videos and stuff with these different experiments and the conspiracies, but I don't keep up with it as much. But I don't know why. I don't know. I think it just it kind of it's too much for me. I think it's way over my head, and I can't grasp what they could do with AI and all of this stuff. It's just a lot. It's just a lot.
Yeah, I think if you're an investigator researcher, thanks to AI, there's some great benefits to it. But at the same time, it's really made our job so much more difficult, because nothing, you don't know what's real anymore. It's
Oh, I
just,
bet,
wow.
yeah. That's what I run into is reading articles and stuff. It's like, is this real or is this fake? So
Yeah, you
then
don't
you
know.
start, you claim, you like, okay, I'm gonna go with that. It's real. And then you start talking about it with people, and then 3 days later, you find out that it comes out as fake news. You're like, dang it, now I look like a moron.
That's what happens, man.
Oh yeah, some of the shows that they've advertised and they said it was coming on, and then it ends up being fake. I'm like, oh man, that was gonna be a good show.
Yeah, they did that with they kept saying they're doing a prequel Freddy series
Oh
on
yeah, Freddy Krueger.
HBO Max, and I bought it all the way, and then it comes out as, oh, that's fake. I was like, I don't
even just to be said fake. Led Zeppelin was going to do a reunion tour, and that turned out to be fake. Talk about disappointing.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Like, oh man,
no kidding. So this is going to be a basic question, with all the things we've talked about. As far as ghosts, what is your opinion on what is a ghost? Like, what do you think that is? Like, over the years since you were a kid, now as an adult, experiencing all the things you have, what do you think a ghost is? Just a, you know,
it's such a good question, because when it comes to paranormal and ghosts, I'm 100% believer. I have zero doubt. I've just experienced way too much to even doubt it. And the only caveat to that is if we are the ones making the phenomena happen, that I know has been theorized and even studied a little bit. Like, you can sometimes hear that, you know, when you have young girls going through puberty, the activity can heighten up because of just pure emotion of our own thoughts and intentions. So are we part of the manifestation? That being said, I do believe that most ghosts, like the ones I've experienced later in life, like my mom passing a week after she passed, I've had some paranormal stuff go on. And I just think, it's mom. Like, because we talked about it. Like, mom, when you go, she was 92 when she passed. Let me know you're around. So more often than not, I feel like there are loved ones that could come in and check on us. I don't think the vast majority of them are negative or scary or need to be. I think they're just people who miss being in these human bodies, or miss a location, or miss, you know, a loved one or a family member or a friend or a home or a business or something like that. And they're just hanging around for a while. I think they could come and go. Maybe some of them are stuck and have negative stories, but I think the vast majority are pretty harmless. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I was just curious what you think, since, you know, with all the things you've covered and researched, what your opinion was on a ghost. Yeah. It sounded sick, but I thought, well, I'll get her opinion.
I truly feel like it is individualist perception of what you're seeing. Because we got the privilege of having a tour at Bobby Mackey's Honky Tonk before it got torn down.
Oh yeah.
And down in the basement, what was it, his friend caretaker, Carl, is that,
yeah,
he had a workshop down in the basement, and two girls in the tour group went in there and they start freaking out. Oh, I can't be in this room, it's too heavy, I can't breathe.
I remember that.
And so we're like, the three of us, let's go check it out. We walked in there, it's like, yep, it's a room. It's like, we didn't feel anything.
Right. No, I think our own perceptions play a role in everything, and our expectations. And I noticed that, not to bring Ghost Hunters up again, but I kind of noticed it watching that show all the years that I did. I'm like, why does all this stuff happen to Jason and Grant? And then the ones, you know, like Amy and whatever, the ones that started out a little more on the skeptical side early on, I think they've changed their tune since, but didn't have as much activity. And I'm like, it's because they expect it. If you expect it, if you believe it, then it takes you down a whole other rabbit hole of, what if we're in a simulated universe? What if this is, then that would answer cryptids. It would answer ghosts. It would answer UFOs and aliens, because if we're just computing like our own realities, then anything goes, really.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised Nate's our Bigfoot guy. He's, that's it. That's his go-to. I was going to say, what do you think Bigfoot is? Is he an alien? Is he,
that's a great question.
Flesh and blood.
Yeah, that's a great question. At the Rocky Mountain Ranch, the Sasquatch that we're seeing there, and there are of course cryptid birds out there, that were reported, like phoenix type birds, big like pterodactyl type birds. And even when I was state director for Colorado MUFON, we got reports of credible reports of, like, there was a father and his son driving to the Denver International Airport, daytime sighting of what they swore was like a large pterodactyl type bird flying kind of right in the Elbert County area. So I'm like, in the day, why, like, traffic anyway? But out there, when I was a kid, they called them white fuzzies, because the ones that were reported out there were like gray haired types. And this was I'm going to hold it up, but I'll kind of describe it, cause I know people won't be able to see, but this is kind of this was the sketch that was in the report. So kind of different looking, kind of more coarse kind of hair on this thing, a more human type looking face, round eyes.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, when I shared this sketch from the Rocky Mountain Ranch, Bob Salas out in Montana, they were saying that at the same time, airmen and women at Malmstrom were reporting, and they had a sketch of one that is almost identical to this. And then they were having mutilations happening at the same time as well. And another interesting thing, and I don't think it made the episode, but when Beyond Skinwalker put the drone up, or no, it was one of the rockets. You know, they love shooting rockets, these guys. So they were shooting one of the rockets, and the GPS unit inside the rocket, when it landed on the Rocky Mountain Ranch, came back with the coordinates of Malmstrom Air Force Base. So I thought that was kind of wild. But so yeah, the Sasquatch, are they connected to the UFOs? If you ask certain people in connection with Rocky Mountain Ranch, absolutely. And I've heard them reported like they are like workers or bodyguards. Maybe they have something to do with the animal mutilations. I mean, cattle are large and big. These Sasquatches are big. The season one in the blizzard, when I took them out there to see where the location of the box was, blanket of snow, we saw these bipedal prints come out of nowhere. And it was just print, print, print for maybe 5 feet. And then they disappeared for, I don't know, 7 to 10 more feet. There was nothing. And then they reappeared and then disappeared again. So it was as if something came up, walked, disappeared, came up, walked, disappeared. And they
That's
were
odd.
bipedal. It wasn't cow, it wasn't horse, it wasn't human. I don't know what it was. But whatever is there is not there full time. It can. Either it's
Switch in
living
and
in the
out.
aquifers or in the caverns, or it's able to manifest and disappear or phase in or phase out. I have no idea. That's why I stayed away from these Bigfoot cryptid sightings, because it's so bizarre. You know, the reports of these Bigfeet are bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're reported out there. I don't know. And a platypus being is reported out here too, another type of cryptid. They look like a platypus.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
I guess
Yeah.
so. Yeah, I've never, I don't know. I'm still iffy on the Bigfoot, as far as what it could be. If it's flesh and blood, yeah, if it's got some alien tie into it, I don't know. And before doing this podcast, I was like, I don't think it's real at all. I doubt it's even a thing. But the more we've talked about it, I'm like, I think it's a thing. I think there's something to it.
I have
So,
two books for you to go to get Stan Gordon's book out. Right, hold on, let me get the name of it. And then the second book is called Psychic Sasquatch. It's a really good one. Yeah, this one is called Silent Invasion. Silent Invasion, the Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot. This has just so many cases of encounters, very credible witnesses, and oftentimes cited in connection with a UFO. This might change your mind.
Yeah. Silent
Yeah,
invasion.
there's,
Okay.
yeah, the more I looked into it, I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, there's definitely something to that phenomenon for sure.
Yeah.
So, you want to ask me the most two craziest things that I discovered about Rocky Mountain Ranch through all my research. I'll share those two with you.
Okay.
They were reported in the APRO reports. There were two types of ETs supposedly on the ranch. Okay. I did not witness either one of them to my memory, but what were reported were these blonde, blue-eyed Nordic types and these Tubi guys, these like AI electric kind of not human Tubi guys. And there was a sketch along with the Sasquatch in the original report. This is the sketch, and I'll describe it. So it has these long, thin arms and these long, thin legs, and this face that looks like not the big wraparound almond eyes like an alien gray, but bigger than our eyes. Wrinkled forehead, wrinkles around the mouth, and these tubes that came out, and he wore this helmet and this protection over his chest, right? So I kept this drawing to myself for quite some time. I didn't share it. It's very unusual looking, whatever. At the time, I was the guest speaker coordinator for Colorado MUFON, and I invited a gentleman who wrote a book called Flashbacks, and his name's Sean Bartok. And in the book, he claims that his ranch was in Castle Rock, Colorado, still close to the ranch, but come to find out, he used a fictitious name, and a fictitious location to keep the property safe. In
Mm.
actuality, his property was only 14 miles from the ranch. And in his book, and I'm in the third row, watching his presentation on the screen, and up on the screen pops up this image right here.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So the image on the left was in his book. The image on the right is from the ranch. He said the tubes in the neck came out, and the second drawing of the tubes look like this. So this was his second drawing with the tubes out right here.
Okay.
This is the creature that they saw 14 miles away from the ranch. So I put him into a generator that overlaid him one on top of the other. I mean, the wrinkles are the same, the heavy brows, the eye size, the tubes, everything. We didn't know of each other. So that freaks me out a little bit.
No kidding.
And
Wow.
In the reports, it says that these two types of ETs were in conflict with one another. So I've came up with a theory that maybe there's different types of ETs that are kind of watching humanity. One maybe is like, maybe they're kind of watching to see what we're going to do with AI. What are these crazy humans doing with AI? They kind of showed up, you know, around 47 when we started, you know, at Trinity making nuclear weapons. I think maybe they're just kind of like keeping an eye on where we're going with technology and all that stuff. So maybe there's some forms of AI that kind of want to keep us away from going down that path. And maybe there's others that are encouraging it. I don't know. But it was certainly crazy for that to happen, to have somebody have something so similar to what was reported out there.
Absolutely. That's mind blowing. That's crazy. I would agree. When you showed me that, I thought, my gosh.
Yeah. And the second crazy thing is, so in the reports, there were notes in Dr. Leo Sprinkle's archives that said that there were two A-7D scrambled out of Buckley Air Force Base in pursuit of a UFO, and both interceptors crashed. So I found the article about it. I sent a FOIA to Kirkland Air Force Base, which is right here. I got this big, huge packet back. Okay. And what's interesting about this is, you know, right when it gets all good and juicy, it's all blacked out. But it supposedly was an instructor and a student in the jets. And the instructor misidentified the rotating beacon of another aircraft, and they never identified the aircraft. So it could have been this UFO they were in pursuit of, because this was high mutilation time, mutilations happening daily, blacked out helicopters, all sorts of craziness going on. And in this report, it says that the instructor lost eight of his instrumentation panels that went out. So he didn't even have the light. He had to illuminate it. Both, so the instructor hits the tail of the student. Both pilots ejected. Both pilots survived. Also, they had 280 live rounds of ammunition on board, which is unusual. The whole report is very suspect, like something was going on. But then I come to find out on that very same day, November 11th, 1975, out of Falcon Bridge, Ontario, there were several hits on UAPs or UFOs on radar. And this is being, you know, seen on radar, seen on the ground by military men and women, police officers, civilians. So they're watching these things for a long time on radar. They finally decide to scramble two F-106 Delta Darts out of Selfridge, Michigan, over the Great Lakes, in pursuit of these unidentified things on radar. And they flew 35 nautical miles, these UAPs, over the Great Lakes. So the Air Force admits scrambling the jets after them. There's articles about it and all these documents I pulled from the archives on that one. So then I'm talking, do you guys know who Travis Walton is, the
Yes.
famous abductee from? So
yep.
I was at the conference talking to Travis Walton, and I'm
oh,
like,
cool.
This is crazy. So November 11th, 1975, these interceptors, four interceptors are scrambled across the country, two out of Colorado, two out of Falcon Bridge. And do you know, at a little bit after midnight on November 11, 1975 was the day Travis was returned to Snowflake, Arizona. And so Travis is telling me, he goes, you know what else happened on that day, Katie? The Edmund Fitzgerald sinks and 29 men go missing off the Edmund Fitzgerald. Now, I'm not saying that's suspicious in nature or anything. I think they did finally recover one of the bodies from the Edmund Fitzgerald, not maybe a couple years ago. But all four of these events happened on the same day.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa. So, yeah.
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
you know,
That's
there's still cool
a lot.
stuff to discover all these years later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gosh, that's crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Travis Walton, I've heard his story a few times on other podcasts, and that's an amazing story. That's cool that you got
Yeah.
to meet him. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I know him fairly well, and he, you know, he I've always said he's a very haunted man. Like, he didn't choose that path he went down, and
Right.
it's affected his whole entire life.
Yeah.
And of all the abduction cases, I would put that as the most credible one.
Yeah.
So.
It's, yeah, I agree. I haven't heard a bunch of them, but that one, yeah, I've heard so many times about Travis Walton, and I believe it. I believe him, you know.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, Katie, anything else you want to tell our listeners about anything coming up that you've got? I know you said you were going to, where did you say you were going to tomorrow or?
Tomorrow we're gonna go and do some researching and investigations at the Rocky Mountain Ranch. So we'll be
Right,
staying the
right.
night there. So I'll have to report back to you if anything happens.
Yes, please
You
do.
know, we have the new book, Tony Angiola and I, Snippy the Horse. So you can go to Amazon and check that out. You can check out the Rocky Mountain Ranch YouTube channel. I accidentally, it's a long story, but I've been having to rebuild the channel. So I would really appreciate if you guys can give me a quick follow. It'd be very helpful for me. But it's Rocky Mountain Ranch Research with Katie Page. And on that channel, I have some behind the scenes of Beyond Skinwalker and that, where I show documents and kind of you can kind of see visually what we're talking about here tonight. So.
Yeah. How else can they follow you? Because I know you're on Facebook, obviously, and
Yeah,
you've
Facebook.
got your
I'm on,
website.
yeah,
Are you on
the YouTube
Instagram?
channel, and I'm on X as well. Rocky Mountain Ranch Research with Katie Page.
Okay.
It's on X, and also I have just my regular website, which is Katie Page, PAIGE.net, and Rocky Mountain Ranch Research.org. And people can reach out to me there as well. I love hearing about people's experiences too. So if they have a story they want to share, I'm certainly open to hearing. That's how we learn. So.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
for sure.
Well, awesome. Well, we've enjoyed talking to you, Katie. We really appreciate you taking your time and all the information you gave us. And man, you've experienced a lot. And your research sounds impeccable. So
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me, and you know, anytime.
yeah, we'll have you back on again if you'd like. So we'll have you on the show sometime down the road. See
Meet
what
Sean.
yeah, Sean, our other co-host, he's writing a book, his first book. So he's been working hard on that. So that's why he couldn't make it tonight. So he'll be back next time though. We'll have you on. So yeah.
All right, sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
Well, thanks, Katie.
Thank
You have a great rest of
you
the
guys.
night.
You too.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Katie, for coming on our show and giving a lot of awesome information about pretty much everything paranormal.
Yeah, I said a few words, but I was just sitting back listening. I totally enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, I did too. She sent me a bio on Messenger when we first were chatting about her coming on the show. And I read it, and I read it twice. Nate, I knew we were in for a treat. I'm like, this woman has done a lot, whether it's research, her books and the shows she's been on, and then of course the investigations themselves. Yeah, she was a great guest, so we appreciate her taking her time.
You know to buckle in when someone starts rattling off book titles and the
Oh,
author, and
yeah.
it's like they know their stuff.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, and even being an experiencer, what did she say, 9 years old when she saw shadow figures? And
Man.
man, being, that'd be scary.
Yeah, 'cause my recall of book and author is Green Eggs and Ham by Dr.
That's, yeah.
Seuss.
That's pretty much what I got too, I'll admit. She knows a lot, and she her research is impeccable though. She's into it, so learned a lot from her. So we're gonna have her on again, that's for sure.
Just like a platypus cryptid.
Yeah,
Never knew.
never knew. Like you said, you learn something new every night. Crazy. Yeah, I just wanted to get her opinion on what a ghost was. Just curious, because she's been in the business so long, and she knows so much. Like, I want to know, what do you think a ghost is? Mm-hmm. What do you think Bigfoot is? Because everybody has different opinions on them. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I definitely wanted to see her, what her opinion was.
I don't really have a 100% opinion on them.
I don't either.
Are they interdimensional? I don't know. Are they aliens? Are they a Wookiee from Star Wars universe? I
mean, flesh and blood? Yeah. Yeah. What are they?
Yeah. I don't know 100%.
I know. I don't think anybody does. That's the fun part. Well, we do appreciate her taking her time and coming on the show, and we will have her as a future guest once again. We got to hear some more investigations she's been on, so that's for sure. And Sean can be in on that next time, so he missed out.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did.
Well, thanks, Katie. We don't have a middle-aged moment or dark side since Sean's not here, so we're going to skip to shout-outs. Nate, any shout-outs this week?
Shout-out to my crew. Being up there in South Bend, we went up there last Monday and started, and the previous contractor was having safety issues, so we got the call to come up there and help him finish the decking on the building, and we knocked it out. We had everybody saying that we're going faster and doing better than the previous crews that were out there. Everybody was ecstatic with everything that we did, and
nice.
Even through 10 inches of snow, we persevered.
That sounds so fun.
It wasn't. It was pretty. Not fun.
I hate just thinking about it. Oh gosh.
So, yeah, we started on last Monday and worked every day, 10-hour days, and until we got done this morning. So
very cool.
So yeah, shout out to them for hanging in there and knocking it out with me.
Good shout out. I don't have any shout outs. Not this week.
You have anybody you want to shout at?
Shout at? I do, Nate. I do have somebody I want to shout at.
New segment.
Yeah. Now we're to the segment of the shout ats. That was good, Nate.
You're welcome.
No, I won't say it on air, but anyway, yeah. No shout-outs for me, though, this week. Let's get to the second sponsorship, though. Hey, Creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Scott and Corey, and Greenwood Happy Haunts for your sponsorship, as always. Love you guys.
Yeah, you use twos.
You're a mobster now. Used to.
Wise guy.
You're a wise guy.
Yeah. No, we appreciate their sponsorship for sure.
Yeah.
And I think we like their store even more.
Just a little bit. I think it's my mom's favorite store.
Mm-hmm.
She loves going there. I think she'd be disappointed if we switch to doing our live shows anywhere else.
Gives her an excuse to go check it out.
Yeah. And then while we're at it, like, we're there, you know. But I think she likes the store more. Yeah. So, no, we do appreciate it. So, thank you, Scott and Corey. Love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Second announcements, I'll do those. You can follow us on our social media accounts, which is Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. And Mako is with two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email us or message us on Facebook or Instagram, and we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some.
Nice.
Why wouldn't you want some merch?
You went through that very quickly.
I did. I'm messing around, Nate. We got a mini to do. We're tired.
Yes. Very true. Burning the midnight oil.
That's right. So what do you have for us?
Well, if we need to get out of here quickly, that's a wrap.
There you go. I like it. Quick and to it. Quick and to it. All right. Well, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 242 and our guest chat with Miss Katie Page. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.